Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Accountability Partner Podcast. My name is Tierra Jackson. I'll be serving as your podcast host and accountability partner as you embark on your journey towards purpose. Now, if you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and rate us, as well as follow us on social media on IG and Facebook. That's going to be at The Account Partner. Again, at The Account Partner on IG and Facebook. All right, with that being said, let's get into today's episode. What's up, everyone? We are officially in the month of September, and I'm excited. I don't know about you, but God has a lot in store for us this month. When I was talking to God and just asking him, what is it that he really wants me to share with you all, and something that you all should be, I guess, focusing on this month specifically. And I heard the word so clearly, September is the month to start. September is the month to start. So I don't know if there's something that has been on your heart that you've been, you know, procrastinating, or you've been confused, you've been trying to figure out when the right time it is to launch it or to pursue something or to go for something. I'm your confirmation today. Start. This is the time to start. There's a scripture in the Bible and it says the vision is yet for an appointed time. And I'm here to tell you that the time is now. That vision that God has given you, that goal, that desire that's been on your heart, only you and God know what it is. But I'm telling you, and I'm telling you so clearly, this is the time to start. So whatever it is that you need to get in place, whatever it is that you need to remove, whether that's distractions, whether that's relationships, whatever it is that may potentially hinder you from starting and being consistent in that, you need to go ahead and do it by any means necessary. God needs your focus in this season. God needs your time. We are nearing the end of 2024, and there are still things that God wants us to carry out. I know oftentimes, you know, as we get closer to the end of the year, we tend to think that time is, you know, we've wasted too much time. We tend to think about all the things that we should have, could have, or would have done. But the thing I love about God, and the thing I just love about us as individuals, is that God is a God of restoration. God can literally restore the years that not only the locust and the cankerworm have eaten, but God can restore even the years you've wasted through his mercy. And so if God is literally telling you to start, it's him giving you an opportunity, a second chance to do what it is that you should have done in the beginning of the year. There's a level of grace that he's releasing. There's a level of ease that he's issuing out. And I'm telling you, please do not miss this moment. Please do not miss this opportunity, because God is truly up to something and he wants to do something specifically in your life. Now, for today's episode, I had the opportunity of being a guest on one of my really good friends' podcast, Lisa Satchel. She's the host of the Live with Purpose podcast. And we had the opportunity to talk pretty much on this topic, and more so focusing on the importance of not being distracted. And so I'm going to share this episode with you all. And before we get into that, you know, we got to start off with some affirmations, and then we'll get into the actual episode. So repeat after me. I am focused. I do not have the spirit of fear. I walk in power. I walk in consistency. I am disciplined, and I will do what God calls me to do and what God tells me to do by any means necessary. Every single thing that I need, I already have. And make sure you're saying those throughout the week. As I always say, it's important to decree a thing so that they can be established. That is our mantra, which is why we are big on affirmations. And now let's get into the podcast episode with my good friend, Lisa Satchel.
The episode.
Yep.
What is something life has been teaching you lately? Ooh. Something it that life has been teaching me is to one, value life, and to two, be someone who has value.
That's good.
And I say that because lately, I don't know what it is, but I've just been seeing a lot of people dying. I've been hearing about a lot of deaths. And those people who have been dying have been, you and I's age, even younger. And so just recognizing that, wow, like, we really should value life and we should be grateful every single day for the fact that we can experience this life because someone today didn't wake up. I mean, that even places like a kind of like a charge on me almost because it's like, okay, if God gave me another opportunity to live, what am I doing with that opportunity? And I should be maximizing it. And that goes into being someone who has value or yeah, being someone who has value. Because we can do a lot of aimless things for the sake of just doing them. Like, I know I just mentioned that my fiance and I, we just started a YouTube channel. There are a lot of couples who do YouTube channels just for the fact of, for the, for the face or for the money or for just doing things. And a lot of those YouTube channels don't have value. So making sure that every single thing that you do, whether it's your business, whether it's your career, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a book, whatever it is, just making sure that it's something that is valuable to someone else, not just putting things out there for the sake of putting things out there. Because, yeah, the money you would probably come, but what impact are you making? And impact is way more valuable than any type of money that you're bringing.
That's so good. I think that really speaks to like our topic today, which is like really just like not being distracted and not like, for lack of a better term, wasting the time you have. I can even be honest before we get into it, before this like for this podcast, I mentioned it on a previous episode, but like I should have started this months ago. God, by his grace, gave me some more time.
He is a merciful God, okay?
However, he's also a just God.
Hey!
You know what I'm saying? So there might be some hurdles I encounter that I would not have encountered had I done it in the time that he told me to do it. There might be some things that would have been easier. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I started doing this podcast, like redoing it, doing season two. And ever since then, I didn't see everybody and their mama done started a podcast. If I had done mine months ago, wouldn't be as saturated. Now the podcast, so you know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't be as many people doing it. So I think there's always a cost for doing taking your time to do things
Absolutely.
The way God has called you to do them. And man, that's just so tough.
No, I think of, and my pastor said it one time. She said, when God gives you an instruction to do something, and it's especially when he gives you a deadline to do it by, that means he's released a certain level of grace for you to be able to do that thing with ease. And a lot of times people procrastinate, people allow fear to impact them, people allow distractions to impact them. And after that deadline comes, God's like, well, now you're gonna have to struggle because I specifically told you to do it this time because I was gonna be able to connect you to a destiny helper. I was gonna be able to connect you to this person. Things were gonna happen in the time frame that they happened. And so just making sure that when we are instructed by God to do something, moving with intention, moving with speed. But like you just said, God being a God of grace, he does give us second chances. Child, he done gave me 5,000. Okay. But it also that doesn't mean to take advantage of it because like you just said, God is a just God and I don't want to have to continue to repeat certain processes because I haven't learned the lesson. So
That's so good. So what is something that I think one thing we don't talk about a lot is like fasting. I didn't mean to go here, but we're going here.
Let's go here.
Because fasting is literally like the act of removing distractions so you can
That's really
focus
good.
on God. But I think sometimes, we think about fasting as if I sacrifice this for God, he has to do something for me. So when we are avoiding distractions, I think it's so important to think about like heart posture. So like when you can you give us an example of a time where like you had to deny a distraction to really zero in on like what God had for you.
Yeah, I think the most recent thing that comes to my mind, My fiance and I spend a lot of time together, but I've just been hearing God, like, Lord, I just need some more personal time with you. Wow. And so I just told, Nate, again, my fiance, I said, you know, I just need the day to just spend with God. And we had plans and all those things, but I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cancel those plans because I really need to just spend time with God. And you know, Nate, of course, he was just like, well, yeah, do it. Like, I would never want to come in between, you know, you and God. So take that time. And I kid you not, after just spending the day and really just focusing and talking to God, and I was able to hear him so clearly, hear him so, you know, I would just say he just realigned me in a way that I know that I needed. And yeah. I know that he needed. That's why God was like, girl, you need to come talk to me. That's why your life is lifing.
Yeah.
Because you haven't taken that time to stop and allow me to not just remove the distractions, but allow me to be the focus.
Yeah, that's so good. I was thinking about it the other day. Like, Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. like, were distraction-free until they got tempted. Like, they had other things to do, you know? They were tending to the animals. They were doing their work. Like, they had other things, mm-hmm. but their relationship with God wasn't interrupted until the serpent came into the garden or was distracted them in the garden.
That's good.
And that wasn't, and that is what caused them to hide from God. Mm. Was like, and that was just what distracted them from like the pureness of their relationship with God. And I thought about that the other day because I was listening to with the Perrys, a very mm-hmm. good podcast.
I like the Perrys. Mm-hmm.
And Jackie often talks about,
she'd be cutting up.
She's so funny. but she often talks about like, Adam and Eve, and I've been thinking about like how many things we would understand more about ourselves if we just start at the beginning, open the just you know, Genesis,
first
of,
few, first what five chapters?
Yeah, just the first five. Just take some time and think about that. but it's just so interesting to me that it's like what is a time? I feel like I keep asking the same question, and maybe it's because there's another answer, but like. Can you remember a time where you let something actively get in the way of your relationship with God in a way that wasn't such a like beautiful, mature response of, yeah, let me go take some time. Like, was there a time where you realized, oh, wait, if I had just gone into God's presence, I wouldn't have ended up here.
All the time. And I think people make the relationship with God so complicated, or they just make living life with God complicated because the scripture, I'm probably butchering it, but literally, God is the source of all things.
Yeah.
All things meaning your wisdom, all source in terms of meaning like food, source in terms of like direction, all those different things. Oh, that's the scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understandings, and in all ways acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. That's Proverbs 3:5-6. And so if we really just took the time to acknowledge him in everything, I think that life would be a lot easier. And so going back to answer your question, I'm thinking about a time your girl was stressed out at work, like stressed out like nobody's business. And I remember I was working late. I was working hard. I was literally just trying so much to just wrap my head around, you know, meeting this deadline and doing all this thing. Holy Spirit was like, you know, I am a helper, right? Like, that's what I'm here for. I do help you. Yeah. And I remember I was like, God, my bad. Like, you're right, you know? And so I remember just literally, I think 2 minutes, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I really need your help right now. Like, I need the help. And within a matter of 2 minutes, I was done with the thing that I had been stressing my whole freaking life over. And it really just put things into perspective. So much so now to the point where it's just like, I'm scared if I don't go to God before I go to, before I go into work, because I know I'm a struggle.
Yeah.
And there's, again, another scripture, I think, in Hebrews, and it talks about, like, we should always bask in the rest of God, because God is a God who literally fights all of our battles. Mm-hmm. And so if we have a God who fights all of our battles, there's no battles too small, no battles too big. We should really be living a life that's full of peace. Mm. And so just keeping that in mind when it comes to that. But it's very easy when you don't really have sight of the vision, or when you lose sight of the vision, you lose sight of a lot of different things, and your priorities change, or you allow your priorities to change, where you are easily distracted.
Yeah. And I think the hardest part about that is when, like, You have to start denying the things you once found temporary joy in. Mm. Like, right now I'm about to go on a fast, and I know, like, I need to stop watching Netflix. But I'm a big fan. It's a nice way to relax when you get home from work. Mm-hmm. Like, just binge, put a little show on, binge watch a little bit, which binging is not good on anything, huh? But just watch a show for a little bit. But then I would realize, like, I would spend, like, I currently, even transparently, spend so much time watching a show that, like, I'm not doing other things that I need to do. Mm-hmm. The dishes are piling up in the sink.
Well, the house is clean today.
Okay? Lit today.
It smells good. She had snacks for me.
Because she had a guest. But when she's here by herself, it look a little different. But it's like just really thinking about, like, not even just like that, but like I would, like, even sending out emails to get the podcast started and get guests. Mm-hmm. That took me maybe 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I put it off for months because, like, oh, it's going to take so long. I'm so tired. I literally turned off the TV, turned off music, sat here silently, did it in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is good. Making room for silence. Yeah. Not even just with God, but within yourself.
I love that.
Because it's like when we're so busy adding noise to our lives, we get so distracted. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think stillness is so important.
Yeah.
I know I hear God the best when I'm still. Mm-hmm. I know that I connect with him the most when I'm still. And I think about just any relationship. Like, imagine you're constantly doing things while you're talking to a spouse, or you're constantly, like, your mind is elsewhere where your spouse is probably trying to talk to you about, like, the future of your marriage. He's going to get annoyed. You're not going to be able to hear him, and there's going to be friction in whatever it is that you guys have going on. And then even from a self-care stance, like, there are therapists and all these people who say that, I think, I forgot what the actual minute is, and I hope that I'm saying it right, or I hope I'm saying the accurate one, but I remember listening to some sort of, I don't know if it was a sermon or a seminar or what, but there was a therapist, a neuroscience or whatever you call it, whoever is in charge of the brain. Okay, those people, they said that if you do not take 16 minutes a day to not think about anything, you're going to cause your brain to have brain damage.
My gosh.
I said, wait. 60, first of all, I don't think I can go 60 seconds without thinking of anything, but that's difficult.
Yeah.
And so just making it a point to try and, like, channel in those moments. I think we also don't allow ourselves to have moments of stillness because that's not something that we bake into our day-to-day schedule. I know oftentimes people think they may not be able to do it or they may not deserve it, but you'd be surprised when you just take a step back and you look at what it is that you're doing, like, girl, you can give yourself 10 minutes to just sit in the car and just not say anything, or go in the bathroom and lock the door, or just sit on the couch and watch Netflix. And I don't want you to ever think, or anyone to think, that, like, watching Netflix and doing things is that, like, I don't think those things are terrible at all.
Right.
Like, do the things. God be liking to watch Married at First Sight too. Mm-hmm. So don't think that you can't do things like that, but I think it's all a matter of balance.
Yeah.
If one other side that's not God is getting a different scale, then we have to readjust. Then you may have to pull away from the Netflix binging a little bit, which I'm excited for your fast. You're going to do great. Things are going to really great. Things are going to come out of it. And so that's really all that is.
No, yeah. And I think I want to talk about that too. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's like when people, I feel like as Christians, we can send the message that anything secular is wrong and bad. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. But, like, we were talking about this earlier when we were just chatting before we started recording. Like, you have to know your own boundaries and know what God is telling you about what you can and cannot engage in.
It's trust your convictions. Like, know your own convictions. And, like, for instance, I know the Bible talks about, you know, drinking or not getting drunk. And I know a lot of people take that and say, like, you should never drink or you shouldn't drink. And I'm not saying what's right or what's wrong. I'm just saying, what is God specifically telling you? Because I do believe that there are some people that God's like, no, I need you to step away from alcohol altogether. But then there are some people who God allows to maybe have a drink here and there. And so it's really just a matter of having that intimacy with God to know, okay, God, like, what are, like, what is it that's good for me? And then also, I think we complicate things so much because it's really all about wisdom.
Yeah.
And going back to, like, the alcohol situation, if every time you drink a little drinky drink, you cutting up, mm-hmm. bro, just put it down. Okay. you don't need to have any other glasses of anything. Or even when it comes to smoking weed or whatever that looks like. Or we were talking about relationships. Some people get really aroused and turned on by just a kiss. If that's the case, you don't need to be kissing nobody.
Yeah.
But then there are some people who can do it. It really is all a matter of like what God is telling you. And then if you are confused about what the God is telling you, child, read the Bible and you'll be good to go.
You'll find it. We were talking also about, okay, I'm about to show my behind a little bit.
Show it.
Show it is crazy. That is so funny. Okay, so I know we're talking about I'll talk about the alcohol thing. Mm-hmm. I know if we get bottomless mimosas.
Hey.
And they,
oh, Jesus.
And they cost $18. I'm drinking nine. Why? Because I'm trying to get down to $2 a drink. That's
crack.
Crazy.
She's showing her whole
that
crack.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. So if it takes me ordering one mimosa for $10... Or just not. I also realized I've been drinking alcohol. Like, this would be better if it was just juice. Like, so sometimes you're not feeling the vibe. I love a good Shirley Temple. Hello. Whenever I order, people are like, you want to add a shot to it? Nah.
I just want
some strawberry soda.
Yeah.
Huh? It's just crazy.
I've been thinking, I don't know, I think it's Holy Spirit while we're staying on the drinking topic for so mm-hmm. long, but I think a lot of people also just drink for the sake of just being cool, like for being a part of the crowd. And that's even another thing. Like if what you're doing is so that you can, you know, fit in or all those things where, you know, God really did call us to stand out and be set apart. You need to reevaluate those things and what it is that you're doing. Because I know for me, like I didn't drink until I went to college. I mean, granted, I actually enjoy drinking, but shots, all that stuff, they taste terrible.
Yeah.
Like they taste terrible. They aren't good for your body. Now, that's not to say I'll never have a shot another day in my life or I will never have a drink, but it's just, again, just like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? And making sure that you know your limits.
Yeah, that's so good. I also think when we talk about, like, setting your boundaries mm-hmm. on, like, what your convictions are, mm-hmm. we should also think about what puts you out of your right mind mm-hmm. or what puts you out of the space of, like, being able to hear from God.
That's good.
If I am binging a show for 5 hours, really personally, God hasn't been there for me.
God, who?
Like, literally, I'd be like, oh, my God.
On Queen Charlotte right now.
Listen, and if I'm watching that, like, for hours and hours and hours, I know that if I didn't take time for God in the morning, or if I'm not like, yo, let me stop this so I can actually spend time with God. Mm-hmm. If I don't put a time limit on myself or put, like, a expectation on myself, like, yo, like, you just been sitting here idle.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah. The old folks used to say, idle mind is the devil's workplace.
Because it is.
But yeah, I think that's something too.
You know, one of the things that I began to adopt, and I'm not, you know, religious, like, or faithful in doing it, but it's something I really do try to make a point or make a habit to do all the time, every day, is when it comes to just doing anything that I guess could potentially be secular, like social media, I do not open that app unless I have read a verse. It could be one verse, it could be two verses, and I need to be able to say, okay, this is a verse, this is what it means, this is how I can apply it. Like, not just like, okay, Jesus wept, cool, click, mm-hmm. Instagram. No. Like, something that I can read, internalize, and if somebody were to ask me about it today, I can do that. So doing that before you go on Instagram, you could do that before you go onto Netflix, even doing that once maybe an episode ends. If I'm watch episode 2, okay, let me just read a quick scripture or like mm-hmm. say a quick prayer real fast. Like, okay, God, what's good? We good? Okay, we cool? Bet. Let's just continue. But I really just think like it's really just making God a part of your day because he's everything and it should be everything.
Yeah. And I also think to piggyback on what you just said, the biggest thing is what are you allowing to shape your mind? Like if I wake up transparently, if I wake up and I get on social media first,
yeah,
that has shaped my view of the day before I allowed God to shape my view of the day.
Yeah.
If I wake up and I'm like, oh, going to get back to episode 55, whatever episode yeah. I'm on. If that's what I'm going to do, like that shapes my perception of what's going on. Even like I've been watching a show and I'll go to bed without praying because I'll just fall asleep watching it mm-hmm. and I'll have dreams about it
yeah.
and that's just because it's the last thing I watched, the last mm-hmm. thing on my mind, but it's on my mind.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, what are you allowing to really occupy that precious space mm-hmm. that is your mind? Because everything flows from your thoughts. You know, they say your that's heart good. Everything flows from your heart too mm-hmm. but I also think our thoughts is where things are like, that's where that first encounters and then it gets into your heart and your soul.
Yeah.
And then it starts affecting what you do.
Yeah.
So like, that's the first impact point.
I'll be honest. I can always equate me having a bad day, to me not spending time with God in the morning. Like, anytime I wake up and I'm quick and I'm just like out the door, I'm disheveled, I'm hangry, I'm like eyes rolling in the back of my head, and you know, I'm real kind in person, but this mind of mine, I be thinking some thoughts, child, and God is still working on me. But I can always equate that to me having not spent a certain amount of quality time with God, and it just always puts things back into perspective, because it's reminding me, like, you need me, like, I truly need God. We all need God, especially in the morning. And even in the sense, when it comes to just going back to, you know, the topic, when it comes to distractions, we're only distracted when we lose sight of the vision, and that vision is Him. And not specifically saying like God is the vision, but like, what did God tell me to do? And not holding that to a certain, you know, prioritization, or not holding that to a certain level or weight, literally allows us to get distracted. And so it's just reshifting our mind, realigning, and making sure that that intimacy is there. That, honestly, that fear of God is there, because God be killing people and I am not trying to die. So there's that. But just like making sure that He has our heart, again, going back to heart posture, in the sense of like, you know, God, I love you so much. I don't want to be distracted. Like, I would be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs if I like didn't have you. And so making sure that we maintain that mindset and that disposition when moving about in day-to-day life.
Can you unpack what intimacy with God looks like? What does that mean to you? Because I think it looks different for every person.
It's definitely different for everyone. But it's just one thing I just like to say with God is, or how I view God is, yes, God's a father. Yes, God's this, you know, a soldier or a commander, but God is also like, we're cool, right? Like, we be kin. And so think about just like how you are with your best friend, and how when you don't talk to your best friend a certain amount of time, like, you're like, what's going on? I miss you. And so intimacy is really just like making time for that person, making time for God, i.e. reading His word. One thing that I really need to get back into doing, I used to have dates with God. And we used to watch Married at First Sight, and we used to be,
Wait, tell the story.
Oh, okay. And so I remember one day I was like, Lord, I haven't had any time with you. Let's just watch Married at First Sight. Because people think that you can only have this, I'm going to read my word, I'm going to pray, and which is all great things, but just like, God is also your friend. Like Abraham, he was a friend of God. He talked with God. He walked with God. And so imagine like just having that time with your best friend. And so going back to what Lisa's referring to, I was living in California, and I said, Holy Spirit, let's just have us a nice little time. Let's go on a little date. And so we're watching Married at First Sight, and I was like, I bet you this person going to stay together. And Holy Spirit was like, this, and so clearly He said, no, this person, this was going to happen to this person. This is going to happen to this person. This person's going to get divorced, and this person's going to get divorced. And literally, I'm literally talking to God like, no, that's not right. Like, it's not going to happen. Like, And kid you, of course, and my earring just fell, excuse me. At the end of the episode, every single person that the Holy Spirit said was going to get divorced ended up getting divorced. Mm-hmm. And it was just that simple, you know, that simple moment where it's just like, wow, God, you really my dog. Mm-hmm. Like the same way I would talk to a best friend, or I could kiki with my best friend. Like me and God, we be cracking jokes. Mm-hmm. Okay. He be cracking jokes on me all the time, cause I be cutting up. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. I'd be like, God, you didn't really have to, you know, do that to that person. Like even in the Bible, the Old Testament God, I'd be like, God, you don't have to do all of that. Like you was just doing too much. Mm-hmm. And so, just really making sure that you're spending quality time that's relative to you. So let's say something that you enjoy doing, whether that's like playing soccer or riding a bike or going for a walk or having a picnic, just inviting God in. And I'll leave with this. One of my Bible study teacher, he says that anytime he's in the car for himself, he always makes space for the Holy Spirit in the front seat. And people may think that's like a crazy thing, but the Holy Spirit truly is the person. And so just making room for Him, I know He's the most, I think, most under-leveraged and most unacknowledged person that like we all know. But when we begin to have that type of intimacy, God will reveal so many things to your life. Your life will literally upside down.
That's so good. And even like the symbolic nature of like making that space for God. Mm-hmm. I say do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? Because obviously to your point, it's symbolic. That's cool. But it's also like, if that's what he does to make that space in his mind and in his space, that's great. Yeah. And God loves that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I even know like, you'd be surprised when there's intimacy there and intentional intimacy, you'll be able to hear and understand God's voice way more clearly. Because I know a lot of things that Christians or even people who may not be Christians, they always say like, I don't know how to hear from God. I don't think he talks to me. It's because we haven't developed that intimacy. And maybe we can also expect him to speak in certain ways. But the same way that we know a best friend or that we know the characteristics of our best friend, it's because we've spent time with that person. We've spent time, you know, connecting, walking, talking, all of those things. And so having that or establishing and fostering that same type of intimacy with God, it will literally provoke that same level of understanding where you're like, okay, God, I know that ain't you because you would never say it like that. Like,
period.
Okay. And then knowing like, you know what, God, that has to be you because me.
I would say for me, intimacy with God just looks like intentional quiet time. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like, to your point you were talking about, where you just need, like, 16 minutes to be quiet, I, like, don't take time to be quiet. Mm. So if I take concern, and also, like, this is an opportunity for growth for myself. I, even with, like, person friendships, don't do the best.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I'm so busy that I don't allow time to, like, slow down and be poured into from friends. That I know that, like, when I take that time to be poured into by God, that it's, like, valuable.
Yeah.
So this is a moment of reflection.
I love that first. It's also, again, going back to what I said, like, we will not function without God. God designed us to need him.
Yeah.
Or the same way that we need a mother, the same way that we need a father. Like, we need God. He is our father. And so when we don't have that, God be up in heaven looking at us just like, so yeah, you gonna come to me or what? Like,
or what?
Like, what are you doing? And so just making sure that, like, we just always or never forget that without him, we can't do anything. Because it's very easy for us to get very prideful in the sense of, oh, I don't have to pray today, or I don't have to read my Bible today because I'm good. Like, I done prayed enough for the past few years. I should be good today. But no, because what if God wants to reveal something new to you? Mm-hmm. What if God wants to tell you who your papi is? Okay, mm-hmm. Because he can do that. Even going with you, it's like we can get so busy for like in work, and then we're praying for God for these things, and he's like, well, you haven't even made room for it. I feel like I just had to say that. Dang, I feel like that was just something the Holy Spirit left for you.
I feel convicted. Live in real time.
But seriously, like, I know a lot of us pray for new jobs or open doors in certain areas and husbands and wives and all those things, but truly, have you made time to have it? We want all these millions of dollars, but are we even mastering our budget? Have we made time to even look at our finances?
My God. Wow. If you felt like she came for you, she came for me too. So that's great. We shout out to the Holy Spirit for that one. That was so good.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up this episode, what's like the biggest takeaway you'd want someone to take out of this? We touched on a lot of things, a lot of good things.
When it comes to distraction, or in those moments that we are distracted and we recognize that we are distracted, we always have to go back to our why. Not just why we are distracted or what got in the way of the distraction or what got in the way of the vision, but like, why is it that we were doing that first thing that we were supposed to do in the first place? And so let's say that we were supposed to launch a business and then we were very distracted and we've allowed all these things to get in the way of launching the business. Go back and evaluate, like, why is this business valuable? Why did God tell me to do this? And really, having the mentality where you're now walking of the mindset of like, if I don't launch this business, then someone's life will not be changed.
Wow.
And making sure that is always at the forefront of your mind will literally help you rid of the distraction, steer clear of the distraction, and make you always focus and not lose sight of the vision.
I felt convicted again by the last thing that she said. So we're going to say lie on that, if you will. Tiara, I appreciate you coming.
I love you. I was going to ask, what was your biggest takeaway?
You came from my life several times.
No.
In a good way. I think this is one of the first episodes where I've just been like, deeply convicted by the conversation because it's also personal. Mm-hmm. Of like, I know I like this came from like, I know I let distractions get in my way. Mm-hmm. So what can I do to make sure that someone else doesn't have to go through that same thing?
Yeah.
So I think the last thing you said was really good. And I think even speaks to what I just said, mm-hmm. which is like, who needs to hear what you are, mm-hmm. who needs what you're producing?
Yeah.
Like the thing God has called you to is not just for you.
It's not about you.
And so it is the least you could do to get rid of distractions. Because not only is it for the sake of those other people, but just like honoring God with it. Mm. Of like, God, you chose me to do this thing. So I'm going to do it. And I'm going to push aside distractions. I'm going to not let things get in my way. Mm. And I'm going to go after it.
I love that. And last thing, and I'm going to have to grab my phone because it made me think of this scripture that talks, and I always, this is the second episode that we've done where mm-hmm. I brought up this scripture, and it talks about the fruits of obedience. Mm. And I think of the things that we tend to ask God for, like money and marriage and cars and protection and preservation, and literally every single thing that we ask for is rooted in Deuteronomy 28.
I want the money. Money in the cars.
Literally everything.
Right before we read the Bible verse. I'm so sorry. Go ahead. The cars and the clothes. Sorry, go
ahead. I don't want no hoe, Dad. Don't give me no
hoe. I don't want that one.
Hoe.
Okay? The other if stuff they, I do
a,
like.
They were a hoe as long as they don't have an STD and that they are refined.
Reformed. Woo! Healing.
They are reformed.
He's a refiner and a reformer.
Listen, I can reform any hoe.
Jesus.
He can. He makes things.
I just hate that I started that right before you're about to read a scripture. I can't stand
God
it.
God said he'd be refining the holes too. He does.
Listen.
And he makes some new.
The good. Woman by the well.
Was she? Oh, she
was. She had men on men on men. She was out there. And God said, I see you.
Okay.
And she said, God said, I see you. See? And I see a better thing for you. Ooh. You know, we said at the same time.
Key takeaway, God can save a hoe.
He is captain. Stop it. Stop it. Read the verse.
Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commandments, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come to you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Mm-hmm. It says you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Your fruit of the womb will be blessed. The crops of your land will be blessed. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. Mm-hmm. You'll be blessed when you come out. You'll be blessed when you go out. Well, come in. And you'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one way and flee seven ways. He will send blessings on your barns and everything you put your hand to. It says the Lord God will bless you in the land he is giving you, which means that you don't even got to work for no land. Here, here's a house. Here's a car. Here's a man. Here's this. Here's that. Here, you obedient to me. Oh, you could have whatever you want because I know at the end of the day you're going to come back to me.
That's so good. Give them that reference scripture again.
That was Deuteronomy 28, and it goes on and on. It goes from 1 all the way down to 14. Now, if you want to talk about on the flip side, the same verse or the same chapter also goes into the curses of disobedience.
Uh-oh.
And so I am going to read it for the sake of, you know,
encouragement.
Right.
But you should read that in your own time.
In Jesus' name.
So we know the ramifications of the opposite. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Well, sis, I love you.
I love you, honey.
I appreciate you being here. How can the people find you? All the things you mentioned before, where can they follow along?
Yes. So please be sure to follow at my personal page. That's at @miss. Oh, my gosh. I have to change my name.
Oh, my gosh.
So going back, it's at @iam.missjackson. And that's M-S, Miss Jackson. You can also follow your PM plug, literally how it sounds, YOUR, PM plug, all on Instagram. And then make sure you follow the Squaw family, and that's SQUALL, the Squaw family on Instagram and YouTube, as well as follow the PM plug on YouTube as well.
And there it is. You can follow this podcast at the Live with Purpose Pod.
Yep.
On Instagram and Threads. You can follow me at Lisa K. Satchel on all the things. And when I have a husband, you can follow him too. I'm claiming it.
Coming soon.
Period. Period. Lord, I'm telling you.
Do it in Jesus' name.
And this will not be the last time you see Tiara on the season. She will bring her man next time. We're claiming it right now. And I'm excited for that episode. So everybody stay tuned for that. But yeah. Thank you guys for watching and listening. Bye. Bye.